Sit back and relax. It's time to improve your financial lot in life. Produced at CFIS-FM Studios in Prince George, this is your tune-up. And here's your host, Deb Ross.
Hello and welcome. This week has been Make a Will Week here in the province of British Columbia. And making a will and discussing the details of wills can sometimes seem like a rather dreary subject, but how important it is for ourselves as individuals and for our families for us to take some time to really get into the details of what's important to us about our lives and how we would wish for our lives and the fruits of our labor to be distributed when we're no longer here. So on that note, I have invited Trevor Slaney. He's a lawyer with Hogue Slaney here in Prince George. I've invited Trevor to come and speak with us to share his wisdom regarding will preparation. Trevor, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate you taking time, and I know you do have a busy schedule, so I sincerely thank you for coming and spending some time with me today.
Oh, you're very welcome, Deb. Thank you so much for having me.
So let's just start off with kind of the obvious. What is a will?
Well, a will is simply a tool used for estate planning. You're going to want to appoint somebody to do the work after you pass away, and you're going to want to tell that person what you want to have happen to your assets after you pass away, and the way to do that is through your will. So it's a tool that you use in the estate planning world.
So give us some details of the actual purpose of the will, because the definition, sure, that makes sense, but what's the purpose of it?
The purpose of it is to empower somebody to do things after you're gone. So you're choosing who that person is going to be, and you're hopefully providing for the orderly distribution of your assets in that document, which is designed to speak from the date of your death.
So I guess when we think about preparing a will, we know we're going to be missed. So there's going to be quite a lot of emotional chaos. At least we hope that we're going to be missed. So we can kind of give that consideration when we're thinking about all the aspects of the will. But I think I'd like to clarify for some people who are thinking about preparing wills and kind of looking at the emotions, because we really have to sort through the emotions even when we're thinking about preparing a will. What isn't a will? I should ask the question that way.
Well, I think to answer that, it's a good exercise to take a step back and think about planning in general. When I'm talking about a will, I'm in the estate planning world. So you're thinking about what's going to happen after I die. And there's a whole other area of planning, and I call it incapacity planning. A lot of times where our bodies are outliving our minds, and we may need to have somebody take care of us when we're not able to take care of ourselves. So we haven't passed away, so the will isn't engaged yet, but you might want somebody to take care of you during your lifetime. And there's a whole bunch of tools in that incapacity planning world that a lot of people forget. They're not estate planning tools. So we're talking about a power of attorney, a representation agreement, an advance directive, and then there's this thing called a living will, which is an older kind of archaic legal tool that we used. Unfortunately, the word will is in it, but it's not at all to deal with estate planning. It's a document that allows somebody to make decisions about you and your body while you're still alive. So if you're thinking about those things, you're in the incapacity planning world, not the estate planning world. So if you hear about those things, they're not wills.
Yeah, those tools can kind of become confusing. And I can see a situation happening where, well, we've covered off the will, so we've pretty much covered off everything that we're going to need at that stage of life. But there are more tools available that we should really take a look at. But this conversation today is primarily about wills. So what are some common misunderstandings or perhaps misperceptions about wills?
Well, one of the things that I hear over and over again, especially from my younger clients that come into my office, young couples, I don't have anything, so why do I need a will? Well, you know what? Actually, you do have lots. You work hard. You sometimes wonder, how are you going to make that mortgage payment? But you're young, you're healthy, you're insurable. I've sadly seen some young people pass away in my practice. I've been doing this for about 20 years. And the people who thought they were broke are worth more than $1 million when they're gone. And that's because they said yes to work life insurance. They said yes to mortgage life insurance. And all of a sudden, there's a big legacy there after you're gone. And if you didn't do a will, there's chaos in terms of how to deal with that legacy and what happens. And what happens is sometimes not what you want to have happen. Another misconception is, oh, I've got a will, so I'm covered. I'm fine. I did a seminar one time, and there was a gentleman waiting outside in the hallway, and I was chatting with him before we went in, and we were about to start. So I said, okay, you know, sir, you should come on in and get a seat because we're about to start. And he said, oh, no, I don't need this. I have a will. And I thought, you know, I just chuckled a little bit to myself. In my career dealing with this, I've seen much more wealth pass from one person to another outside of your estate through other things like joint ownership and beneficiary designations that have nothing to do with wills. If you think you have a will so everything is covered, you might be fooling yourself and not actually be covered. And then I also have some clients who say to me, well, why would we need to go through probate? I have a will. I see that, I hear that one all the time, and really that person is really mixing up two very different things. Having a will or not is dealing with your estate planning. Whether or not you have to go through the process of probate after you're gone is completely different. It's just the administrative work after a person dies with or without a will. And we're only here for a half an hour, so we can't get into the details of what probate is and how that works, but that's part of my job. I help people deal with administration of estates every day. But having a will avoids probate, that's a misconception that I hear all the time. That is just false.
I think your comment regarding the amount of assets or the lack of assets dictating whether a will is necessary is a very good point to highlight. So I lost my sister a year and a half ago, and she passed away without a will. And the amount of headache that there has been on top of the emotional loss, because she was a young lady, we lost her prematurely. That has been one of the most difficult things for me to work through. And I see just the idea, oh, well, I didn't need a will. I didn't have anything that needed looked after. I can't even get people to talk to me because I'm not named. Of course, I'm married. I have a different last name than she had. So even just getting informations out of banks or speaking with Canada Revenue, that has been frustrating at every step of the way.
Absolutely. First of all, I'm sorry for your loss and for the loss of your sister and that you're having to go through this. But you're doing a wonderful thing by dealing with the work and the estate. And yes, this is a very common misconception that I have nothing, I don't need a will. But somebody is going to be doing work after you're gone. It doesn't matter what you own. Somebody who loves you is going to do that work when you're gone. If you've given them a will, even if you don't have anything, it at least appoints them as the executor, which gives that person legal authority to speak for you and to deal with your estate from the minute you've passed away. Without a will, you have to actually get that authority from the court if you're ever going to have it. And so if you're a sister asking questions about your deceased sibling, the first question that institution is going to ask is there a child? Is there a spouse? Is there a parent? Because each one of those three people would trump you if they wanted to do the work involved. And so you're in limbo. You don't have the legal authority to compel information, and your job is much, much harder. So having a will is important regardless of whether you have assets.
Yes, I just really wanted to highlight that point because I think that is probably the biggest misconception, at least the biggest misconception that I've faced with talking with people about having their preparations in order. But then, of course, I've had to walk through that misconception as well. So when I think about planning wills and for myself and for the clients that I work with, how can we make sure that our intentions are expressed clearly?
That's a good question. My job is to express my client's wishes clearly. The client's job is to tell the professional, this is what I want. And then putting it on paper is my job. So expressing yourself clearly, I think the best way to do that is to have a professional do it for you. But there are a lot of people that do their own wills, and I have to deal with them after the person's gone. And I see words that the person put on paper that they thought were crystal clear in their mind. And in their mind, they were crystal clear. They can only mean one thing. But when another person reads those words, two other people read those words, those two people could come up with two different interpretations. That's called ambiguity, and it leads to a lot of problems when we're dealing with estates. So I think just to express yourself clearly, ask a lawyer to do it for you. And then if I don't express your wishes clearly and your beneficiaries suffer because of that, then my insurance will take care of that for you. Don't tell anybody I said that.
Oh, all right then. So are there unreasonable intentions that we should avoid trying to deal with through a will?
I wouldn't say the word unreasonable. I guess you can do whatever you want in your will. You can leave your estate to whoever you want. If, let's say, the church is really important to you and you want to leave a will that leaves everything to the church, that's fine. That's a private decision. It's your decision. There is a law in BC, however, that requires people to make what's called adequate provision for any spouse or children in their estate. Now, do you have to? No, you don't have to. Again, you can leave your estate to wherever you want, but you have to understand the risks of cutting out children or spouses or providing in a way that they would feel is inadequate. And after you're gone, that disappointed child or spouse can make a claim against your estate, and a judge, after you're gone, can change your will and do what the judge believes is fair. So I wouldn't say they're unreasonable things. If you have a reason to leave your estate the way you do in your will, it's probably not unreasonable, but you need to know what the risk of not leaving to spouses and children is. So hopefully that's answered your question there.